Lovely to see you all on the Sabbath day. Mr. Kester, thank you very much for that special music. That was lovely and well done. Very, very thankful for that. Love special music. It certainly adds to our worship of God and adds to the beauty of the Sabbath day, of course. Well, I was very encouraged to hear today mention of love and family and those concepts, discussing them, because I want to touch on those subjects today myself. And it's good to have a theme that weaves through the messages. Of course, not planned. God always seems to work it out that way. But in terms of my discussing that today, I just want to go by way of review to a passage that we hear quite a bit during Passover, as a matter of fact. It's often read. I want to begin in John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. By way of review, I want to talk about this subject and this command to us. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. If I ever get to John, there we go. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Brethren, we know that the world is largely a very cold place today. We know that. We're aware of it. We see it all around us every day. We see many people mistreating each other in society, ignoring, despising others, keen on fulfilling their own self-interests. We see divorces of convenience or worse. We see families breaking apart everywhere at an ever-increasing rate. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that men will be lovers of themselves. We do indeed see that everywhere. Terribly misdirected love. But as we know, we, as the called out ones of God, are called to a different standard, a higher standard, a godly standard. We know that so much is said about love in the Bible. The Bible is a book about love. In its various forms, the word love is mentioned 362 times in the New King James Bible. It's a very important concept, a very important word. The Bible tells us that God is love. And the Bible tells us that if we are to become disciples of Jesus Christ and continue in his way, to be truly Christian, to truly learn to love others, we must become Christ-like, to be like him, to follow his examples and his commandments. And among those commandments, we just read, to love one another. And as if you haven't guessed, that's what I'd like to discuss today, the concept and the command of loving one another. And that's the title of my message today, in fact, loving one another. So let's review a little more of that command to us. If we go a little further, John chapter 15, a couple pages over, John chapter 15, and we'll read verses 10 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 10 through 14. So we're breaking into this talk that Jesus Christ is discussing. Verse 10, John chapter 15. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And we're probably aware that that word love, and also mentioned in the other verses in this passage, is that Greek word agape, which is a very special, deep, godly love. Not a love that a human being can give to another, but godly love, agape. Continuing, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Note verse 13, to lay down one's life. This is, again, what we as disciples of Christ are called to do. And this can be literal, even if need be. Literally lay down our lives for another. Or it can be a sacrifice of time or effort or substance. And we'll talk a little more about that as we go on here. But I just want to look at this for a bit today, to remind us of the principles behind and the need for us to lay down our lives for each other, you know, to love one another, to serve one another in love. And by doing this, genuinely showing our love for God and one another. This kind of came about in my head because I have been shown, God has ways of showing us where we need to improve. We all have experienced that. It's a place where I've realized I need some work in, quite frankly, not to make a confessional out of this or anything, but I have discovered the need to change my focus and start looking outside of myself more. And this is something that God is looking for in each and every one of us, to see, really see, and love, and be more involved with others around us, around me. Jesus Christ, in talking to the Pharisees who were with him at the time, at one point in John, while we're here, was describing himself as the door of the sheep. And so let's go to John 10, and we'll look at that passage. I'm not going to look specifically at the door of the sheep concept here, but I do want to pick out some verses here in chapter 10 and verses 17 and 18. So breaking in, John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus Christ tells them, therefore, because of everything I've said before this, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ willingly lays down his life for his sheep by his willing choice. And for us to love one another, it must be our willful, deliberate choice as well. Of our own free will, we must do this. Not grudgingly, not because I have to, quote unquote. It seems that it's far too easy as human beings to focus on ourselves, to love ourselves, and to live in selfishness, quite frankly. I have been shown this lately, more so lately, and very thankful, actually. Very thankful. Besides the command to do these things, to love one another and to love God, there's deep spiritual meaning in this concept of loving one another. Let's go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses out of here. 1 John chapter 4. Probably work better if I was in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. We heard that at the beginning. God is love. And we're going to read it again in a second. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now that word know in verses 7 and 8 is a very important word. In the Greek, among other meanings, essentially it means to recognize or to understand God. If we do not love one another and practice these things, we cannot recognize or understand God. And he cannot be a part of us. He cannot abide in us because he is love. And the only way we will understand or recognize that is to love one another, love God. I almost said love ourselves. 1 John 3 and verse 18. It is important that our love is true, honest, genuine, and sincere. 1 John 3 and verse 18. 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ must be true, genuine, heartfelt, and we need to do it. We need to love one another. It must manifest itself in our actions. And it is something that needs to be done continuously with sincerity again. Excuse me. As this is how we learn to love in a godly manner. So as we have opportunity to be with and in the company of one another, like we are here today, assembled together, we can ask ourselves and consider, you know, just think about what do our actions show? What are my actions showing toward all of you, for example? You know, how do we love one another? Let's go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. I'm going to do a little bit of flipping around here today. Galatians 6, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 10 in this concept of honestly loving one another, genuinely, sincerely. These are verses we are familiar with. Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. See, God, as we know this, God knows and sees the true intent of what we think and do. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh, who perhaps sows in selfishness to his own regard, to his own accord, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we need to consider our motives, to be willing, able, and joyful in helping others, in loving one another. We need to take the time and the effort to do it. And it can't be, again, I don't want to get involved or, you know, doing so only as a matter of obligation. You know, we know that that is not agape. That's not godly love. And it's a lesson that I've had to learn and I'm still learning. And my wife helps me with this frequently, and I'm very grateful to her for that. I can't tell you what a wonderful example she is of love and service. And I just had to get that in there. I'm very grateful to her for that. I have been learning. But in so doing, I have found joy and accomplishment in helping and loving others. And I'm very, very thankful for that. Brethren, let's turn to Matthew 25 now. Let's turn to Matthew 25. We're going to read some verses here. God is looking for this principle in us as we grow and learn and walk our Christian walk. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, mostly reading these first few verses for context. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And why was this? Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me," seeing to his needs, right? Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?'" And now verse 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these of my brethren, you did it to me.'" In loving one another, we love God. We love Jesus Christ. As we practice that, as we gain spiritual strength in that, and truly have concern and love for one another, so we love God. So we love Jesus Christ. But verse 41, "Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" And then they also will answer him, saying, "Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? When?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Again, loving one another is active, not passive. It is doing. This is caring for one another. And in the spirit of it, with actions that need to be done, as the aforementioned example shows. If we are to be the bride of Christ, then we must follow his example and do as he does, imitating him. And again, it must be done sincerely and genuinely. As we love and care for one another, we love God. We love Jesus Christ. God's love is directed outward. And as we love one another, that energy is directed outward. He puts energy and effort into love. And he desires for us to do the same, so that it will come back to him through us. As we love God and love one another, this is the love toward others that God is looking for in us. Okay, I'd like to go now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. This is kind of an interesting verse to me. I kind of like looking at it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. The church at this time, when Peter was writing this, was enduring all manner of persecution, and it was starting to wear on the membership. It was affecting their attitudes and, frankly, their love for one another. Peter devoted quite a bit of time and space in his epistles, in this letter in particular, encouraging and exhorting the brethren to persevere in love, loving toward one another. I'll get it out somehow. During these hard times, but I would like to focus on this verse in particular, 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. I'm going to stop there. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, being tender-hearted, being courteous. In William Barclay's book, The Letters of James and Peter, it describes this section of passage from verses 8 through 12 as, quote, the marks of the Christian life. And it struck me that there are three B's in that verse that can really help us in loving one another. I want to go over those briefly. The B's themselves, of course, were added by the translators. That's why they're in italics there. Added by the translators to help give the sense of what's being said. But the actions, those important things that need to be done, are there. Okay, we can perhaps think of the three B's as guidelines that we as Christians should be striving for in loving one another. The first B, be of one mind. Be of one mind. And that word of one mind, the Greek word for that is homophron, H-O-M-O-P-H-R-O-N, and it means essentially to be agreeing with one another, or literally of one mind. Okay? In this verse, Peter starts right off with the theme of unity. We need to be unified in thought and spirit, unified in love of God and one another. For how can we truly love one another if we're not unified in spirit, if we're not standing together, right? You know, Amos 3 and verse 3 reminds us, can two walk together unless they're agreed? So unity, one mind, walking together, being in the same place. Next word I want to look at is behind the B, but it's there, and it's an important word for us, compassion. Compassion. The Greek word for compassion there is sympathēs, which is where we get our word sympathy from. But it denotes suffering with, together, you know, like suffering with someone, or being compassionate. Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary has a little note about this, about having compassion for one another. In the Greek, sympathizing, again, they mention in the joy and sorrow of others. So we sympathize for one another. We have compassion for one another. We're concerned for our brother and sister in Christ. We can share with them, learn what others in the body as well are going through. We can pick one another up or celebrate the good things that we enjoy with one another. You know, to love as brothers and sisters. It is not good for us to be consumed with our own concerns alone. I find myself guilty of that sometimes. It seems like too often I end up concerned the most about what my problems are in my own little world, and I forget that there are others out there. You know, and as we're able, if we can help share the journey of another, you know, share the weight of what they're going through, or share the joy, share in the joy with them, whatever it might be. Pray for them, help them if you can. You know, we know these things. We know that we can share in helping one another and thereby loving one another. But we really, truly need to have that way of give that Mr. Armstrong always used to talk about. You know, to get out of our personal comfort zones and care for and about the others among us. You know, we're the body of Christ, and we're all in it together. We are. William Barclay also notes in his book that I referred to earlier, he said, quote, one thing is clear. Sympathy and selfishness cannot coexist. And it may seem obvious to us, but as human beings in practice, we can butt our heads against it. But sympathy and selfishness cannot coexist. We need to be led by God's spirit of love, and we can love one another. The second B, be tender-hearted. That Greek word for tender-hearted, euplanchnos, I should just spell these instead of trying to pronounce them, E-U-S-P-L-A-N-C-H-N-O-S. And it means very similar to two words that we just addressed, compassionate and, well, okay, there's the other word, tenderhearted, which we're talking about, but literally means of good-heartedness. It can also mean to have pity on another. Tenderhearted. You know, so many of us are going through different things right now, different trials, different circumstances, enduring hardships and health problems. We can consider our brother, our sister, and feel what the other person is going through and empathize with them. Again, sharing with one another, loving one another. The third B, be courteous. And that word, I don't know if I even want to try and spell that. It's Greek 5391, if anyone wants to look that up. Thought I'd take the easy way out this time instead of tying my tongue in a knot. But it means essentially lowly-minded, you know, toward others, you know, humble. So being courteous. Jameson Fawcett Brown, again, concerning this word, they describe it as genuine Christian politeness, not the tinsel of the world's politeness, stamped with unfeigned love on one side and humility on the other. You know, almost like a hypocritical kind of love. But the oldest manuscripts read humble-minded. It's slightly different from humble in that it marks a conscious effort to be truly humble. So the essence of these B's, essentially, is to put ourselves aside and kind of like give the other person the preference, you know, lifting the other person up. This verse, 1 Peter 3, verse 8, in the New Living Translation, kind of like this a little bit too. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And again, there are a few B's in 1 Peter 3, but they'll only sting us if we don't do them. So, again, these are words of action. These are things we can do. And of course, this is not all by a long ways, long shot. I'm going to talk about maybe a few more later, but we are all doing these as time goes by. You know, we are all practicing these things. I just bring this out to remind us as the spring Holy Day season comes that to be really thinking about this subject, to remember loving one another and thereby loving God and Jesus Christ. Because, as we talked, as has been mentioned earlier in the message today, we are family. We are family. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2, kind of continuing this theme a little bit here. All right, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. Ephesians 4 and verses 1 and 2. So this is Paul. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. Again, loving one another, sharing, caring, patience, long-suffering. We heard about that last week. Dr. Hanaway gave a wonderful message of talking about patience. So again, Halley's Bible Handbook had this to say about verse 2 of Ephesians 4. Quote, being composed of many members of diverse talents and tempers, the fundamental requisite to its proper functioning is a spirit of humility and mutual forbearance on the part of the members one toward another. Humility and forbearance, great markers of love toward one another. You know, with all this said, all of the B's that promote focusing on the other person, it seems that perhaps one of the most effective ways to promote brotherly unity and love is to, again, you know, I'm speaking to myself here as much as anyone, to get the self out of the way, to put the patient care and concern for the other over that of the self, to defer to the other even when we don't see eye to eye on something, or if someone does something that irritates us. Can we put that aside? Can I put that aside and show that person love? You know, how do we react to these things? How often do I put myself, my wants, my opinions before those of my brothers and sisters in Christ? How often do I irritate them? Please don't answer that, by the way. Or how often do I make things difficult for them in some way? Again, please don't answer that. Okay? You know, slip me a note after services. But there are always things to work on, things to improve in, you know? And as we strive to overcome the things that put distance between ourselves and practice those things that bring us closer together, we will know brotherly love, the good thing that God desires in each and every one of us as brethren. Can we show true love? Or, as Mr. Randy Stiver might say, true love. Can we show that one to another? Do we show those B's? You know, unity of mind and heart, compassion, courtesy, the things that promote brotherly love, and how we interact and respond one to another? Because we know these things. We do. And we do them. We must continue to do them. So what else can we do to better love our brother or our sister in Christ? You know, what else can loving one another look like? There are many things. I know, again, many of us practice those things. Many of us know and have good ideas and wonderful things that we do one toward another. This was one that jumped out at me. An outgoing love and concern for others can include giving up a personal preference as a consideration to others. And Paul demonstrates this in an example that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians. So let's go there. 1 Corinthians 8. I think this is an example that some of us have heard about and noted. But it is a good example of being able to put ourselves aside for the benefit of another. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and then verse 1 through 13. And I'm kind of going to read the first couple, three verses just as context for this. Some of us are very familiar with this account. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Okay? It almost seems to give the sense of what he's going to talk about here, the theme of this passage, that because that word love, again, is agape. It's that Greek word for deep godly love. Verse 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him, by God. Again, it's that principle. Therefore, verse 4, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, small g's, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Now verse 7, however, there is not in everyone, that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. In violating, we know that the conscience is our guide. Violating that conscience amounts to sin, or it can amount to sin. Verse 8, but food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, verse 9, lest somehow this liberty, this understanding of yours, become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, Paul says in verse 13, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And again, I think many of us are familiar with this in terms of an example that has been spoken of in the past, where hosts to dinners or whatever do not drink in front of others who are known to have difficulty with alcohol. That's an application of this. You know, not putting an item before them that they may be weak with shows outgoing love and concern for them, showing deference to them by not placing a stumbling block before them. You know, and I looked at this and, you know, it made me think, it's okay to be inconvenienced, particularly for a good cause. And loving one another is one of the greatest causes there is. There are some other things we can do along these lines just by way of review and reminder. We'll probably be familiar with every one of these, but I want us to be thinking again about these things as we enter into the Holy Day season and thinking about how we need to pull together as a body with the times that are coming upon us. More and more we will need to depend on one another. More and more we need to love one another, right? Like I said, I've already touched on some of these. We're familiar with some of these. And it's not an exhaustive list, but I'm just going to throw them out there just so we can meditate on them, chew on them. Firstly, make sure we completely do the commandments of God. In this, we show the love of God. And by doing the commandments, we can also show love to one another. That's Matthew 22 and verse 39 talks about this. Love God and love your neighbor. It's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. But it's one of those commands. And who's my neighbor? My fellow man. My fellow person. My fellow human being. Whether in the body or out. But especially within the body. We can encourage one another. And I've personally seen a lot of this. And I'm very grateful for it. I'm very thankful. When I was preparing for this sermon last week, I wasn't going to mention this. Three different people came up to me and asked me if something was wrong because I was concentrating on what. And I was just so thankful for that. It was an outpouring of love. And I just wanted to say thank you to those who did. It was very touching. I was very, very thankful for that. But encourage one another by supporting one another. You know, sometimes the simple act of listening, for example, can mean so much to someone and do so much good and show an incredible outpouring of love. We can be proactive with help, with service to one another. You know, not just waiting for an opportunity to come to you, but to be proactive. I know there are many of us that do that very thing. It's very heartening. Here's one that I need to work on a little more. Keep a prayer journal. Keep a prayer journal. Keep those who are dealing with life and health issues, other sufferings in our minds and hearts. You know, keeping a prayer journal really helps you focus outward toward others. It changes your focus. It gets the thought off of the self and brings our thoughts and concerns to our others. And it can also, a prayer journal can also make a great card journal, I found out, if you're really into sending cards to others, which is another wonderful way to show love one to another. Prayer journal has a list of names. If you could put addresses with them, you've got an instant card journal. And I think that's just a wonderful thing, I really do. Because then we remember others in that way and bring them a moment of light and love. And along this line, we can be open with one another in sharing burdens and problems that we all face. We can share those as discretion allows. You know, we can be concerned for, pray about the problems of others or the body as a whole. We've done that on several occasions too, because those problems can affect all of us. Galatians 6 and verse 2 reminds us, I'll just give it to you for reference, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, whatever those burdens may be, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, as we can. Here's a big one. This is a big subject and a tough subject, but if there is a need, be willing to forgive one another in a particular situation, whatever it might be, to help heal the wounds, to help show that love one to another. Now, we're told that if we're not willing to forgive others, God won't forgive us. So it's another example of that love, now the flow of energy, if you will, I use that term, but the flow of energy that goes among us as far as God's spirit of love toward one another. Because we really can't love one another if there's a giant wall of grudginess standing between us. It won't work. We express love toward one another in forgiveness. We really all are, we're very different, aren't we, all of us? Different personalities, different generations, you know, personal differences and ideas. We can each see the same thing in several different ways. And those things can often have emotion and opinion attached to them. And they can come between us. You know, we're human. We perceive words and ideas and all manner of physical, mental, emotional things differently. And we may all react to those things differently. Of course we do. We're individuals. But I think that was not by accident. Aside from our, you know, our human nature, I think that was not by accident. We know that we are being prepared to be kings and priests in God's kingdom, which also includes being teachers, loving teachers. We need to experience these different things so that we can learn from them. You know, the remnant coming out of the tribulation will contain many, many different kinds of very beaten down people. The wonderful thing is we have God's Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ's incredible examples to help us in learning these things. And we have each other to help us learn these things. Because we have to learn one another, to love one another now, so we will know how to love them later. We all know that Jesus Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. Sinners, you know, against him. And yet he loved us. He gave everything. He literally laid down his life for us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know, in his love for us, and as part of God's plan, he did it for us and for all of mankind in the biggest way possible. Brethren, this is important to God. We know that. That we not only are able to love one another, to get along with one another, but that it's true and genuine and that it grows and made bigger. And we know that we all have a part to play in this. Best of all, again, we have help, don't we? All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. I encourage us, myself certainly included in that, to remember what's written in 1 John 4 and verse 8. We read it earlier, so I will just refer to it here. He who does not love does not know God, for he, God, is love. God is love. Jesus Christ is love. And again, we need to be imitating our elder brother, so we can be and do and act like him and be pleasing to one another and to God and Jesus Christ. And we heard about children in the sermonette today and how we are being brought forth. Well, God wants his children, us, potentially, to learn to work and enjoy life together. He does want very much for us to learn to love one another. We must break down the barriers, whatever those might be. They're different for each of us. I know I have to deal with them. We all do. Again, we're all one body, and as such, we need to care for the body. So I want to encourage us all, as fellow brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, to succeed in this, to have that genuine, sincere, diligent, outgoing care, that like-mindedness, that compassion, that tender-heartedness, that courtesy, those bees that we talked about, to one another, because the rewards are so great. You know, we have an opportunity coming up here very shortly to flex our muscles, so to speak, to this end, with the dinner and game night this evening coming up. I don't know if arm wrestling will be one of the games this evening, but if it is, I'm very happy to watch. Flexing our muscles. Let's really enjoy the time together. Let's spend quality time with one another. Have fun, enjoy the company. Continue to learn how to love one another. Continue to learn about one another. Truly good times, truly good times. And let's ask God to help us in this, of course, continuing into the times ahead, to help us overcome whatever obstacles there might be in seeking to be lights of God, images of our Father in heaven. As the commercial says, let's do this. Let us truly love one another.